tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Ruth traded her homeland to become the great-grandmother to a king. Moses and David traded their sheep to become leaders of Israel. Saul traded his prestige to become Paul, a leader of the church. Corrie ten Boom traded anger and resentment to forgive a brutal Nazi guard who put his faith in Christ. Cameron traded the money he spent on Starbucks for 40 days to raise money for water wells for Uganda. They put their faith in action, being intentional with time, resources, and passions so that they could bring the love of Christ to the world. What are you willing to trade? Let's welcome our lead pastor, Rob.
Good morning, beautiful people. Great to see you guys today. Thank you for making this your service time. It's making a difference. Our first two services were packed, and so if you came to those, we wouldn't have had room for you. So thank you for being here at this service. Thank you for making it your service. Today we are continuing our series entitled "The Trade-Off," and it's based off this idea that all of us want to have it all. We want to have everything in the world, but the truth is we can't. We've believed the myth that we can have it all, but you cannot have it all. You can have some good things, you can have a lot of good things, but you cannot have it all. At some point, there is a trade-off, and what we're finding is today, so many of us are overstressed, we're overworked, we're getting burnt out because we simply are trying to do it all. The key is to make a decision about what is most important and then prioritize everything else around it. That word decision, at the root of the word, comes from a Latin word, sis, which literally means to cut or to kill. So when you make a decision, you are making an idea. You're having a decision to cut or to kill something that's not helping you get to your ultimate goal. So if you're making a fitness decision, you are cutting or killing things that aren't helping you get into shape. If you make a financial decision to save money, you are making a decision to cut or kill financial things, buying things that don't help you get to your ultimate goal. And when it comes to following Jesus, it is a decision that you make. And it's a decision to cut or to kill things that don't help you love Jesus. And that takes us to our big idea for today. Every week, I try to give you something practical that you can take notes, and I encourage you to take notes. It's just too hard to remember all the information that we're given. So feel free to, if you don't want to physically write notes, you can take a picture of the screen at any point. Just gives you something that you can remember. And the first thing that I want to make sure we're all remembering is our big idea, which is your decisions reflect what is most important to you. Your decisions reflect what is most important to you. Every single one of us make decisions, that is to cut or to kill certain things. And we all make decisions based around what is ultimately most important to us. The challenging thing is that so many of us haven't defined what is most important to us that it allows other people to define it for us. It's like what author Greg McKeown says. He's the author of the amazing book, Essentialism. He says, when we don't purposefully and deliberately choose where to focus our energies and time, other people, our bosses, our colleagues, our clients, and even our families will choose for us. And before long, we'll have lost sight of everything that is meaningful and important. We can either make our choices deliberately or allow other people's agendas to control our lives. And I see this happening in so many areas of our life. We are stressed out. We are all too busy. We're all saying, I don't have time to do it, because we are allowing other people to dictate what is most important. And unfortunately, I see this creep into the church a lot. According to research, the average Christian before the pandemic, before coronavirus, the average Christian went to church 22 times a year, only 22 times a year. What has happened is we've allowed other people to dictate what is most important to us, what we should be doing, and we are prioritizing things that they may even be good things, but they don't get us to our ultimate goal. And that's why today our big idea is so important, that your decisions reflect what is most important to you. So if you are a Christ follower, if you're here today and you would say you are a Christian, what is ultimately most important to us is our relationship with God. And every other decision should flow out of that. And today I want to show you a text that, helps us understand exactly why this is so important for everyone that is a Christian here today. It is written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul is a primetime player of, the scriptures. He wrote over half of what we call the New Testament. The New Testament is the section after the Old Testament. That's why it's new. It's a section that covers Jesus' birth, his life, his death and resurrection. And then Paul is the one that really gives us an understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And Paul gives us some amazing instructions. And he wrote this to the church in Galatia, to the Christians living in Galatia. And this is going to be our text that's going to lead us today. And at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud our theme verse for today. Now, at Next Level, we can be a little weird sometimes. We like to have fun. And a weird thing we do is when it comes to the reference, Galatians 5:24, you'll see two dots. We want to invite you just to put your fists out and say dot, dot. And it's a little bit of fun thing that we do here at Next Level. So will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 5:24. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us not to multitask our way through this service, that we would prioritize and focus in on your word and on what you want to say to us. And we ask that you'd give us the courage to obey you, even when it's hard. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I understand that all of us are incredibly busy. I understand that we all have a million things pulling our attention. And what I want you to know is that today, in the next handful of moments, there's a great chance that you're going to have your toes stepped on. And I want you to know that this is coming out of a place of love. I never intentionally want to shame anyone. I'm never trying to be judgmental towards people. I just want to share with you some things that that should be a priority if you're a person who's following Jesus. And we're going to look at some stats and look at some things that show what people are prioritizing in America today. And our text may step on your toes. And if it steps on your toes, please know that's not me intentionally trying to hurt your feelings. It's me just sharing what the text says. And I know it might step on your toes because it stepped on my toes as well. So with that being said, let's look at what Paul says in Galatians 5:16. Paul writes to some of the earliest Christians. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." All right, let's stop there just for a second. In the New Testament part, in Paul's section of the scripture, he continually points out that every believer, every Christian, has two things going on inside of us. We have the Spirit, which represents God, and we have the flesh, which represents our sin. Every single human being was born with this preloaded download in our brains that the default position is towards selfishness and sin. That's what Paul would call the flesh. And all of us have that. I don't care if you've grown up in church or you've never been in church. The scripture teaches clearly that we are all born with this flesh inside of us. It's this sinful nature. And that's why I'm convinced that as humans, we don't have our best interests in mind. The flesh, it doesn't have our best interests in mind. If we had our best interests in mind, none of us would be overweight. None of us would be addicted to anything. None of us would be in debt. All of us would be living our best lives. But we're not living our best lives. Why? Is it because someone forced us to make bad decisions? No, I am responsible for every bad decision I've ever made. And we all are prone to wonder. We're prone to pull in to things that are not good for us. As humans, we do not have our best interests in mind. And Paul would say that is the flesh that is living inside of us. So Paul says to walk by the Spirit and you won't give in to this thing called the flesh. He then tells us, he compares specifically what the flesh brings and what the Spirit brings. And what we're going to see is a stark contrast. And in order to illustrate that for this morning, I brought some props. And what I want you to know is that these props are not meant as a statement. I'm not trying to make fun of or convince anyone to buy a certain product. These are just for illustrative purposes. The props that I brought today is I have this is an iPhone. This is made by Apple. This is, oh yeah, one fan. That's cool. This is, for just illustrative purposes only, this is going to represent the Spirit of God. Then I have this big old thing. This is not a VCR. This is a droid. I don't know how this fits in your pocket, but this represents the flesh. Okay, now this is just for illustrative purposes. I'm not making fun of anyone's phone or telling you what you should buy. But I just want you to see, because it's going to be very clear, that Paul says we've got both these things living inside of us. And they do some of the same things, but they are very different. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 5, 17 through 18. He says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Did you catch what Paul said? If you are a Christian, you're not to do everything that you want to do. This is why Scripture is so important to us, because Scripture is our grounding mechanism. It's the thing that points us to. When I want to do something, how do I know if it's right or wrong? I go to Scripture to guide me and to let me know if it's right or wrong. What this means is there are some things inside every single one of our hearts that feel right to us, but they're still wrong. We've been downloaded with a program that does not have our best interests in mind. And Paul says that these two things are in conflict with one another. They're not compatible with one another. So if we go back to our illustration, we have the spirit, the iPhone, and we have the flesh, the droid. Now, both these things work very similarly. If you want to keep the power on to one, it means that you have to plug it into the right power source, right? So I have an iPhone here, but I've borrowed, it's all tangled up here, I borrowed a Droid charger. Now, the Droid charger looks very similar to the iPhone charger. I think they ripped it off. I think that they borrowed the idea of it, but it looks very similar. If my iPhone, the spirit, is being drained of power, and I run to someone and I say, "Hey, I need a charger," and they hand me a Droid charger, it looks like it will fit, but when I try to plug it into the power source, it does not fit. This is what Paul is saying is the difference between the spirit and the flesh. It all comes down to your power source. And if you want to give into more of the spirit, you've got to check your power source, which is your time and your money and your energy. What are you plugged into? If you're struggling, and if I'm struggling with the things of the flesh, it comes down to our power source. So Paul then gives us really clearly, what are the benefits? Very similarly, if you were to go to buy a phone, you would look at, okay, what are the benefits of this phone versus that phone? And Paul lays out for us. This is what you get when you feed the power source of the flesh. Look at what he says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. He says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies." That's not a word you hear in church every day. "And the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." So Paul makes it very clear. We've got this tension inside of us. We've got this tug of war inside of us. But if you're a Christian, you've already made the decision which power source you're going to go to. And so in your life, if you find that you have a lot of hatred and discord and jealousy, fits of rage, it's coming back to that you are pouring into the power source that is giving you, it's feeding into those things. If you want to combat those things in your life, you got to change the power source. You got to change what's giving you energy and power. Now, this is so incredibly important because Paul says those who live like this, those who live based off getting their power from the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that there's a difference between a permanent residence and a vacation home? When you see the list that Paul has given us, we can all find 1, 2, 3, maybe even 10 things on that list that we visited from time to time. In fact, right now, even if you're here and you say you are a Christian, there are still things that are pulling at your attention that you could see on this list of the flesh. And you could say, "Yeah, I struggle with that. Yep, that's wanting my time and attention. Yep, I'm drawn towards that." But we don't live there. We don't justify it. We don't rationalize it. We don't say, "I feel good about this." We say, "Dadgummit, I stumbled again. I fell again. But this isn't my home. My home is back with Jesus. Let me run to Jesus as fast as I can to get away from this." All of us are pulled towards the acts of the flesh. And one of the concerns I have for the modern church today is that I think the ultimate message that Christians have given to just the world and to each other is that you need Jesus just so that you can go to heaven. But that falls way short of what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't just come so that you have a ticket to heaven. Jesus came to save you here on earth. In fact, I made a what I found to be a funny TikTok based off this whole thing, and I wanted to share it with you. Check this out.
So somebody asked me today, do I need Jesus to go to heaven? Bro, you need Jesus to go to Walmart, okay?
For the Christian, that is the right response. Do you need Jesus to go to heaven? Yeah, but I need Jesus to do everything. I need Jesus to go to Walmart. I need Jesus to love my spouse. I need Jesus to raise my kids. I need Jesus to know how to vote. I need Jesus every time I get on social media because there are idiotic just people that make me so angry that I want to say things that don't represent Jesus. I need Jesus before I get on Facebook. I need Jesus all the time. Jesus is not just something that you have for heaven. Jesus is our power source. And the reason this is so important is because inside all of us is this flesh that is constantly lying to us. It's constantly telling us that we don't need Jesus, that we had enough of Jesus. I went to church. I don't need him anymore this week. It's constantly lying to us. And here's the truth that I found about sin. Sin, or the flesh as Paul would call it, it always overpromises and underdelivers. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. It always tells you, you can get away with this. No one's going to notice. It's okay. God will forgive you, which he does. This is going to be worth it. Oh, you just need a little stress relief. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers, but our flesh does not have our best interests in mind. And that's why for Christians, God's not optional. We don't have to wake up and say, do I need to spend time with God or not? We don't have to wrestle with, should I go to church or not? He's not optional. We need him because he is our power source. And so Paul then says, I've shown you what the fruit of the flesh is. I've showed you what you get when you feed the flesh. Now let me show you what happens when you feed the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 24, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. I just want to stop real quickly and say the reason that I chose the iPhone is it because it comes from Apple, and the scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what do you get when you feed into the flesh? You get fighting. You get like all the things that Paul listed. What do you get when you feed into the Spirit? Man, that list sounds amazing. I want some more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I want more of that in my life. I want more of that in my relationships. Well, where does that come? It comes from plugging into the right power source. So in your life, if you find that you're not being patient, more patience doesn't come from just, you know, strapping up your bootstraps and being more disciplined. More patience comes from digging more into your relationship with Jesus. If you find that you're lacking joy in life, it doesn't come from a new substance or adding something extra to your life. It comes from plugging more in to Jesus. If you find that you hate your job, it doesn't come from just changing jobs. It comes from finding joy in Jesus in the midst of your job. If you find that you're having difficult relationships with people, it doesn't just come from replacing the people. It comes from learning how to love Jesus, to love people that are difficult to love. Jesus is our power source. He is our everything. And at the very end, Paul says that Christians have already made a decision to crucify the flesh. The idea of a crucifixion, it is the most brutal form of capital punishment in the history of man. And to be crucified is not something that you accidentally stumble upon. It's not like, hey, where were you going? Well, I was going to West Virginia and somehow I ended up on this cross. I have no idea how I got here. If you crucify something, it is an intentional decision. And when Paul says we have crucified the flesh, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted again. It means that we've crucified the decision to where we are going to turn for power. As Christians, we turn to God first because he's our power source. And we admit, someone might call it a crutch. Yeah, you can call it a crutch. You can call it a walker. You can call it whatever you want. I need Jesus. And in order to get the fruit of what I want ultimately in my life, it comes from not my own self. It doesn't come from looking inward. It comes from looking at Jesus. Jesus is our power source. If you grew up in church, maybe you've heard the song. Maybe even you sang the song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. What does it mean to make a decision? It means to cut or to kill something. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, there's no turning back to the old power source. You may visit it from time to time. You may be pulled to it from time to time. But the decision is, as a Christian, we know that by myself, I'm dead. I'm not going to choose what I ultimately want. I'm not going to have my best interests in mind. So that's why Jesus is not optional. So I want to throw out a rhetorical question for you. This is a question. I'd invite you to take a picture of it on the screen. Write it down. I want you to spend some time answering this question this week. The question is, what is the obstacle that is keeping you back from prioritizing your power source, which is God? What is the obstacle? Is it an excuse? Is it just laziness? Is it prioritizing something good that is not the best? What is it in your life that stops you, that prevents you from prioritizing your power source on a regular basis? Address it. I can't answer it for you. Only you can answer that. Last week, I shared with you that I don't use the phrase, I don't have time. I think I don't have time is an excuse. Instead, I say I didn't make time. The truth is that all of us have the exact same amount of time in a day. We're only doing the things that we want to do. We're only doing the things that we've prioritized over everything else. And in fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but research and scientists have shown us that every single human being has 24 hours a day. I don't know if you know that. Did you know that we have 24 hours a day? It's not like someone that follows Jesus gets 26 hours and everyone else gets 24. We all have 24 hours a day. But I want to show you how we as Americans are prioritizing this 24 hours. And this is where you might get your toes stepped on. This is where it might get real for some of us. Out of that 24 hours a day that all of us have, you really don't have 24 hours to make decisions. You really have to minus 8 hours of sleep. Statistics tell that the average American has 8 hours of sleep. So out of that 24 hours, you got to minus 8 hours. Out of that 16 hours left, you have to minus another 8 hours for work or school. Those are things that are not optional, and the average American spends 8 hours at work or at school. That means that you and I are really only left to 8 hours a day. We have 8 hours a day to decide and to tell what is most important to us. So according to research, how do Americans spend that 8 hours a day? According to research and surveys, the average American spends 1 hour a day eating. That includes if you eat three meals, it includes snack time, it includes prepping the food and cleaning up afterwards. But when you put it in perspective that we really only have 8 hours and an hour of that goes to feeding, it just changes the way that you look at decisions that you make. I found this next one kind of humorous. Out of our 8 hours a day, 35 minutes a day is spent deciding where to eat. Now, We argue about where to eat, but put it in perspective. If you only have 8 hours a day, you don't have time to argue about where to eat. Just make a decision and then put it down your throat because time is ticking. You got to just go with it. The average American spends 1 hour, 42 minutes in the bathroom. 1 hour and 42 minutes in the bathroom. Now, when you put it in perspective of we only have 8 hours, almost two of those hours are spent in the bathroom. The average American spends 50 minutes commuting to and from work. The average American spends 50 minutes commuting to and from work. CNBC claims that the average commute to and from work in the U.S. is 52 minutes per day. Adding that to our total calculation means that we have 4 hours of free time if we're commuting. We only have 4 hours of free time. The average American commutes 9.4 days out of a year. The average American commutes 52 minutes per day or 225 hours a year. Now, I just want to throw this out there, okay? I'm not judging anyone. I'm not trying to throw stones at anyone. I just want to tell you that for my wife and I, we've made a trade-off. And the trade-off is that we're going to prioritize our relationship with God and our church family over everything else. And that means when it comes time to moving, and we've moved a lot, the decision that goes into where we move is how close is it located to our church and to our jobs. Now, my job's a pastor, so I'm kind of cheating with that. But my wife's not a pastor. She's a teacher. And we weigh this into the decision. Every time we've moved, we've said, hey, listen, what do we want to prioritize? Well, when we go out to stores, we want to see people that we go to church with. And when we go out to eat, we want to see people that we go to church with. And we want to save some time because we don't have unlimited time. And so it takes my wife less than 5 minutes to drive to her job. And it takes me less than 10 minutes to drive to the church. And we've tried to center everything. And I just say that to say, if you ever get offered an opportunity or a chance to move, I don't think the average Christian prioritizes God in the decision on where to move to. I think we prioritize land, and we prioritize house size, and we prioritize so many things that God doesn't even play into the equation. And I just want to throw out there that there's always a trade-off. There's always a trade-off. Let's keep going. The average American spends 2 hours and 22 minutes on social media. This one hurts me a little bit. I definitely spent 2 hours and 22 minutes on social media, and I found a lot of benefit. I love social media. I've made real friends from social media. I've been able to extend my influence because of social media. But when you put it in perspective that you only have 8 hours a day, and you think about the trade-off is, as good as social media could be, it's not worth the trade-off of spending time with my family and friends. And it's not worth spending time with God. There's a trade-off. Let's get back to our list. The average American spends 18 minutes a day exercising. I was a little surprised by that. I thought it would be more. Like when I exercise, it's never for 18 minutes, it's always for more. But then I realized I don't exercise every day, so it probably evens out to 18 minutes a day. This one, though, is the one that I chuckled at, but it is so true. The average American spends 7 minutes a day thinking about exercising. And the thinking of it, at least for me, is should I do it or should I not? I would save 7 minutes of my day if I just said, I'm going to do it. No matter how I feel, I'm just going to do it. 7 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think about that you only have 8 hours in a day, 7 minutes is too much time to waste. The average American spends 1.8 hours doing chores. 1.8 hours doing chores. Last but not least, the average American spends 4 hours a day watching television. Now, if you were to add up everything that I've listed, it would equal more than 8 hours. And that's because this is all averages. Not every one of us in the room spends 50 minutes commuting. Not every one of us spends 2 hours and 22 minutes on social media. Not every one of us spends 1 hour and 45 minutes in the bathroom. It all averages out. But you can see the things that take away our time. And often when we're doing these things, we don't think about them as wasting time. We just think, oh, this is just what I'm doing. But I want to point out to you, because research shows that the vast majority of Christians aren't prioritizing their relationship with God in their 8 hours. I like the quote by Napoleon Hill. He says, tell me how you use your spare time and how you spend your money, and I will tell you where and what you'll be 10 years from now. If you want to see the trajectory of your fruit, look at what you're prioritizing right now in this season. It will always tell you what your fruit will look like. According to Lifeway Research, 90% of Christians have a desire to please Jesus in all that they do. I don't know why that's not 100%. I was a little thrown off that, like, who's following Jesus and is like, nope, I don't want to honor him. But according to Lifeway Research, 90% of Christians have a desire to please Jesus in all that they do. But this is where the contrast comes in. At the exact same time, when surveyed, Christians in America, only 19% of Christians read the Bible every day. 26% read it a few times a week. 14% read the Bible once a week. 22% read the Bible at least once a month. 18% read the Bible rarely or never. The percentage of Christians that rarely or never read the Bible is almost the same as those who read it every single day. Christians say, I want to honor God in all that I do, and yet we prioritize everything else over our relationship with God. And I just want to open your eyes to some statistics, because your decisions reflect what is most important to you. And if you're a Christian, your relationship with God should be most important, so your decision should prioritize around that. It should never be a question, do I have time to spend time reading the Bible and praying? That should never be a question that enters a Christian's mind. Should I go to church or not? That should never be a question that enters a Christian mind. Those decisions are already made for us. Why? Because Jesus is our power source. And some of us are trying to fill our spiritual battery with only 1 hour of church a week. And it doesn't last us through every single day. In order to have a full battery, you've got to constantly plug into your power source. I can't give you enough power through a sermon to last you for an entire week. It's just not the way that it works. And so that takes us to today's win. Today's win is what you do with all this And what I'm encouraging you to do is to make time for what you know is most important today. Every single one of us says, yeah, I'll get to it one day. I'll prioritize it one day. When I get older, that's when I'll sell out for Jesus and I'll prioritize it. When things slow down a little bit, you know what? Things never slow down. And so the challenge today is, if you are a Christian and if you want to follow Jesus, how can you make it a priority? How can you make time for Him? Make time for what you know is most important to you today. Don't wait for Monday. Don't wait for next year. Don't wait for things to slow down. Prioritize Jesus now. Why? Because He is our power source. Will you pray with me? God, we come before You, and we just thank You that You're a God who gives us so much grace and forgiveness and love. But at the same time, God, You challenge us. You challenge us to be who You want us to be. And God, we're faced today with the reality that often, so often, we prioritize things that aren't honoring to You. We prioritize things that are selfish. We prioritize things that feed the flesh. And we're asking right now in Jesus' name that You would just open our hearts and our minds and our eyes, and that starting today, God, we would prioritize and discipline our time with You. And we ask, God, that You would produce what only You can produce, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And we ask that You do all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.